Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that is a noteworthy goal, that I'm not going to worry about what has already happened. I'm not going to anticipate what may happen tomorrow or in the future, but I'm going to focus on the right now. And I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're grateful that God has blessed us to come out as a called out body of believers on yet another occasion. And we're happy to see each person that has come. If you've come as a guest, we will recognize you at the end of the worship. And we're just thankful that God sent you our way on this evening. I have many things I'd like to say, and I'm just going to try to focus for a short period of time here, y'all. A short period of time. I heard Brother Hook says he was praying, and certainly I know that the election is on the minds of a lot of people, but can you just put that behind us for a little bit? And we put one of the brothers was telling me that he heard a joke that probably wasn't too much of a joke, that in congregations that are primarily of African American congregations, that the sermons for this morning across those were going to be that God is still in control. You know what? People might learn. We might learn how to talk more to the Lord. But let's just kind of put that all behind us and focus on the right now and focus on what we need to do in order to be pleasing and acceptable in the eyes of God. I had a great opportunity this morning to spend some time with our young people in Bible Hour. And I will tell you that it's been 30 years, I think, since the last time I preached in Bible Hour. And I still remember that they have a lot of energy after this morning's session. And I found out that I don't have as much energy as I had 30 years ago. but there's a lesson text in Matthew's gospel, the 18th chapter. And there's a very important lesson, I think, here that is for all of us. In Matthew chapter 18, if you meet with us there, I'm going to select verse number 1. And we'll try to work down through the other verses. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Does it matter to you who is the greatest? You know, is it just enough to be in the kingdom? Is it just enough to be a part of the family of God? I have a conversation with my wife from time to time. Yeah, we do talk from time to time. And I said to her on a number of occasions, you know what? I don't care if nobody ever even knows my name. You know, that would be just fine with me. My wife said, "I don't think so." It's like, no. I would not. People don't even have to know my name. But every once in a while, you want to say something. And if folk don't know your name, you don't get a chance to say nothing. Uh-huh. All right. Stay with me for a moment. Jesus had 12 men that were working with him and following him about from day to day. And they had this question among themselves, or who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I took the moment to entitle this lesson, number 1, Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. The first thing is you got to get in the kingdom. And the kingdom extends from heaven to earth. The kingdom, the glorified kingdom, is in heaven, but the church is the part of the kingdom on planet earth. And now they want to know who's going to be the greatest among men. And Jesus did what we call an object lesson. He asked for a little child. And the little child, in verse number 2, set him in the midst. And then he looked about among those who were assembled. And he said, "Verily or truly I say unto you, except ye be converted." Who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the ones that are following him about all over the countryside. He's talking to the ones who have seen him perform all of these various miracles. And he said to those innermost group among the followers, at number one, you need to be converted. That means that we have to have a change of heart. Do you know that when we come into the kingdom of Christ, that we got to change our heart? We got to change our mind. We got to think a little bit differently, because we are in this world, but we are not to be of the world. And Jesus said, you must be converted. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We will not make it into the glorified kingdom of heaven unless and until and when we learn humility. Amen. Until and if and when we learn to become not the kind of people who are minding earthly things, but folk who are concerned about heavenly things. Amen. And that everything in this life, everything that we come into contact with, if we can perceive it with our senses, we are going to be without those things. All of it is going to melt with fervent heat. We must first be converted. Come to Jesus. Come into a right relationship with God. He goes on and he says to us in verse number four. Whosoever therefore shall, what's the word? Humble himself. You know, we got to lay down our high-mindedness. He says, except for we humble ourselves, therefore humble himself as this little child, the same shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. On last Lord's Day, or the time before that, I had an opportunity to look in Philippians chapter 2, and it's still true. I think it's still in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what? This is not to build our reputation in the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Let nothing be done through strife. We're not against each other. And that's a problem, because when we fail to check our ego checks in on us, and we end up in conflict with other folk. Right. And Paul is telling the church of Christ, just like Jesus is telling this inner circle, first of all, you've got to become converted. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let, in lowliness of mind, let how many? Each esteem other. How? No, everybody is better than me. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have. He doesn't want this to be a statement that we make, but we've got to learn that we are servants in the kingdom of God. Our duty is to serve God through serving mankind, and we deserve the responsibility to serve everybody. We have to recognize the responsibility to serve everybody. And we can't serve everybody until we learn that everybody is better than I am as an individual. Does that make sense? He says, let each esteem other better than himself. And then the other part of it, do you believe that we need to help each other in the kingdom of Christ? Amen. See, if people are not better than us, it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to help everybody. He says in verse number 4 of Philippians chapter 2, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We need to learn how to help one another, brother. When a brother stumbles, a sister stumbles and falls, literally, I mean, I've seen people literally trip and fall. Have you seen that? People trip and fall. What do you do when somebody stumbles? Somebody trips and falls. Now, I am aware of at least two different reactions, because some folks see folk fall and they can't help but start laughing. Some people start laughing. When my daughter was little and somebody would fall, she would take off and run in the opposite direction. I had to go catch her. And I said, what are you doing? What's wrong? She said, you know what? I didn't know if they were hurt or not, but it's funny, and I didn't want to laugh right there. Now, don't y'all tell my daughter I said that. She told me about 30 years ago, don't be using me her in my sermons. But some of us act like little children like that sometimes. You know, but our concern for those of us who are of age is that we want to make sure that the person is okay. Is that right? So let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. And when we have a problem, can we depend on brothers and sisters to help us? Somebody to help us get up, dust ourselves off, and keep on walking in harmony with the great God that we serve? Don't look on our own things only, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, in verse number 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. You want to show a real example of how to check our ego? He says, this mind be in us that was in Jesus, because he was in the same form as God, and somebody had to come to save mankind. And what Jesus did, he didn't count it robbery to hold on to his equality or position with God, but he humbled himself. And as members of the family of God, if we're going to do the great work that God has called for us to do, you know what we have to do? We got to step outside of ego. Amen. We got to step outside of self. Amen. And we got to humble ourselves in the sight of God. On last Sunday night, I had a chance to talk about same love. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Have you been saying it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Gary. All right, practice again. Say same love. We've got to have the same love for, look, we got to have the same love for everybody in the kingdom of Christ. When I talked about that this morning in Bible hour, one of the little kids say, that's hard. Because we got to love our enemies the same way that we love our friends. And he said, that's hard. And you know what? It is hard, but is it right? It's what God calls for us to do. And brother, listen, sister, listen, we've got to learn how to make any distinction, no distinction, between those who are for us, our friends, our loved ones, and those who are against us and cannot stand the sight of seeing us. Is that a huge challenge? Anybody need help from God? Brother, I need some help from the Lord. But whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse number 4, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I'd asked the question for the class. I said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They gave some beautiful, wonderful answers. And they said, Jesus. Jesus is the greatest. Yes, yes, that is absolutely correct. There's no one greater than Jesus. Jesus established the kingdom of God on planet Earth. No doubt about that. But look what the Bible says in verse number 4. Did you see it? In Matthew 18 and verse number 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the Bible says, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, brother, sister, listen, it's not because everybody knows our name. We have to learn how to step out of self and become humble and serve in the kingdom of Christ. If there's nothing that providentially hinders us from serving in whatever capacity, brother, we need to learn how to be like little children and do the work, whatever the assignment is that we get assigned. Has anybody ever given your children assignments? Do folks still do that? We used to call them back in my day chores. Did y'all know what chores are? That was work. And now I don't know anything back when I was, I don't know nothing about no allowance for when we were a kid. We had chores, and you start talking about allowance. What is that? What is that? Your allowance is I allow you to come home and sleep at night. But and I'm sorry, I get distracted. But I'll try to give you an illustration where you can see how it applies. If you assign your kids chores, do they have a choice to come back to you and say, Mom and Dad, I'm calling a family meeting right now. You know those chores that you assigned me to do, you know, empty the trash, wash the dishes, clean up my room. I just think that we need to discuss this because I don't think I want to do none of that. Is that acceptable? But what is a child to do? They are they to question the assignment that you gave them to do? Okay, I'm using another example since I already stepped out with my daughter. When my daughter was little, we were at the house, and my wife had this rule about she had to clean up her room, make up her bed. Yeah. And Lord have mercy. One day that child asked her mama. She said, "Mama, why do I have to make up the bed because I'm just going to get back in it again tonight?" Do you think her mother said, "Blessed are you, child"? I had not realized that you were going to get back in that bed. Therefore, yes. No, see, here's the point. We understand we don't expect for our children to come and question us about what we assign them to do. And when God tells us that we got to love everybody, we got to step outside of self, and that we've got to consider others better than ourselves, that's not for us to question. Amen. It's for us to do. Amen. If we're going to come to Jesus, we simply have to do what we have been commanded to do. Trust God. Follow God's word and do the work that he has called us to do.
Amen.
In Matthew's gospel, the 19th chapter, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuke them." You know, sometimes we do a lot of things that we think that we ought to do because we think that that's the way it should go. And little children were being brought to Jesus. And the disciples were like, "Jesus ain't got time for these little children." That's my paraphrase. Did you follow what it said? Okay. He says, listen. Don't bring these children. The disciples, don't bring these children to Jesus. Jesus is too busy. Jesus has got a lot of stuff. Children are noisy. Children require attention. You got to watch little kids. Did you know that? I want to tell you, have you seen little children, how they act? I mean, they have so much energy, and they just stand around. Or we just stand around, and little children is just standing around. They don't just stand around. They're sitting up there, and they are just moving, and they jog, and they running in place and everything. And you standing there watching them going like, "Where did all that energy come from?" And then they take off. They start running. Say, no, come back. And if you're not careful, listen. You start watching them. You get tired just from watching all of the energy they expend. And when they get to the point where you got to chase after them, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, they say, "You don't have time for these." But Jesus says, "Allow the children and do not forbid them." Don't forbid the children to come to Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 19, when he was telling them, "Don't you forbid these children, suffer the little children, forbid them not." Notice the little caveat that he asks, that he adds on the end. He says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." In Matthew 19:14, "Suffer the little children, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Did you get that? That the kingdom,
amen,
is like little children?
Right.
What does that mean?
No.
That means that we have to be like children in the kingdom of Christ. We covered that in the Bible Hour this morning. The kids going like, "Oh, our parents got to be like us. They like that." That we've got to be like them. And what does it mean to be like children? Because this is what the kingdom of God is all about. One of the things that we have to learn how to do is follow the instructions that come from God. One of the things that we have to do is not to question everything that God has asked us to do. And sometimes we invent answers to questions that the Bible does not give us. We don't have to do that.
Amen.
Mama and Dad, when I was a kid growing up, they didn't sit down. I don't really remember one time they sat down and explained to us why they told us to do what we did. Sometimes we want to explain to other folk why God said what he said when that explanation is not in the Bible. Let me tell you something. There are two possibilities with that. It might be right, but it might be wrong. And if the Bible doesn't tell us, why do we have to draw conclusions where the Bible doesn't give us a conclusion? You know what we need to do? Ask the Father. Get that answer when we get a chance to sit down and talk to our Father in heaven. But where we got to go? We got to get there. We got to come to Jesus before we can ask that question.
Amen.
We got to be in the kingdom of Christ and enter into the glorified kingdom of Christ. But let's look at this idea of being a child. One of the things is, in the kingdom of Christ, we need to learn how not to hold no grudges.
Amen.
I'm speaking bad English for effect, y'all. I'm doing it on purpose. Yeah, my wife said I be doing it so much on purpose that folk don't know that I can speak proper English. So one of these days I'm going to have to speak proper English the whole way through. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, in verse number 20. Here's the thing. God expects for us to be like little children in terms of our relationships.
Amen.
That we don't hold grudges and we don't plan evil against anybody. That we don't hold grudges. Do you know any children that hold grudges? Now, folks are getting more advanced. These kids are growing up faster. But do children plot evil to bring somebody down?
No.
Now, I know y'all. Let me keep a look on my wife because she might have a commentary over here. But my wife works in an elementary school, and she's worked in an elementary school for some years. And I remember she came back. At one point, after having been working in the school for some time, she said, "You know what? I used to think that children never came here evil." but she said, "You know, sometimes I'm not so sure." And of course, since I'm not working there with any kids or anything, I said, "You know what? I don't think that they come. It's learned behavior." So listen, you know, we need to be careful what we say and do before our children. And if we don't want our children to see what we're saying and doing, should we be saying and doing it anyway? Can I give you a couple of suggestions? I'm going to try to wind up here. Don't go around telling your children that they're bad or telling somebody else's children that they're bad. Don't do that. When we go around and tell, "Oh, you just so bad," and sometimes we mean it in a funny, comical way, but that child is growing up hearing all the time, "You bad, you just bad, you just bad, bad to the bone," you know. Listen, if we tell them that they're bad or we tell them that they're evil and they keep doing bad and evil, they're just doing what we have programmed them to do.
Amen.
Does that make sense? So if you're doing that, if anybody's doing that, let's not do that. Don't do that with our children. Don't do that with other people's children.
Amen.
Letting them know. And listen, I want to tell you. Let's have a higher expectation for ourselves and for the children as well. I tell you. And if they don't live up to our expectations, certainly we're going to keep on trying to encourage them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when we have high expectations for children, it really puts us in a whole completely different category as well. I'll just mention this, another example. I was in homeroom. Brother Michael Glover and I had homeroom together in high school. And one of the young ladies that was a cheerleader in the classroom, the teacher gave her the role to take to the office. She gave it to her to take to the office. And the little cheerleader girl asked me, said, "Come go to the office with me." I said, "I can't go to the office with you. You know you can't just get up and walk out." And she said, "You don't never do nothing wrong. You don't never. You just Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You're just perfect." And she said, "Come go to the office with me." What do you think I did? I got up and I went to the office. I wish he had added Mike instead of me. And of course, you got to come back to the class. That was like the homeroom classroom. And when I got back in the classroom, the teacher had discovered already that I was gone. And she came to me and she said, "They told me that you left out of the classroom, and I just couldn't believe it." And she was like, she was about to cry. And it's like, I'm so disappointed. It's like, okay, just shoot me now, because I want to tell you, because I had let her down. She had high expectations. You see the point I'm making? Sometimes our kids might disappoint us. Sometimes other folks' kids might disappoint us. But brother, look, sister, don't go and tell them that you just bad. We can let them know that we're disappointed and that we have high expectations. Get them to come to Jesus, and we come to Jesus. Step outside of ego, step outside of self, step outside of sin. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16, it says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves." You see, what God wants us to be is not children in understanding, but he wants us to be children in malice. He doesn't want us to be evil-minded. He doesn't want us to be vengeful. He doesn't want the children of God to be folk who are about promoting him or herself. And in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, brother, listen, sister, listen. When we have that kind of love among us where we serve each other, it makes it very easy for everybody to come to Jesus. Amen. Because they see the love of God manifested in us. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to let go of pride or anything else that holds us back. We got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Brother Dundee, I almost wanted to sing that song. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Step outside of self and let's do it God's way and not our way. The basic elements of the gospel are contained in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter verses 1 through 4. Apostle Paul identifies for us that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. He arose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, because since Jesus died for us and died for our sins, all he's doing is asking us to live for him. Amen. In order to live for him, we must be born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in the Gospel of John, and he says, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So if you believe tonight Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. If you are willing to repent of sins, turning from self and sin means turning to God, doing it God's way. Amen. If we confess Jesus as the Son of God, if we give our bodies to be washed in the watery grave of baptism, we can rise to walk in newness of life. Amen. It's important that we come to Jesus if you've never obeyed the gospel, but even if we've obeyed the gospel, remember in Matthew 18, Jesus told his disciples, you have to be converted. When we come to Christ, we've got to change our hearts. We've got to change our minds about a whole lot of things. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free.